Call of the day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on the Fan.
Stanford on the Fan, BT and Sal.
Hi. Hey. Yes, I'm here. Thank you so much.
Hello, Carolyn. Yeah, how you doing today?
Good. Thank you.
Good.
You know, I follow the Yankees really closely, and I go to a few games. And one of the games I went to, I saw one of the players standing in the dugout, and I was like, "Who is that?" And it just hit me that this team. It's like a pickup team. They do so many wholesale changes every time at the trade deadline.
Yep.
That they have a heart for themselves. They don't have a heart for the team. You know, they are invested in getting their stats up, but they don't seem to be invested in having chemistry. They don't have a DNA for New York or the Yankees. Because they've never really been with the Yankees.
It's
a job to them. You don't really see the passion because they're just looking for the next job, the next place that they're going to go.
And there was more, too. And she nailed a lot right there. I was really interested. That was early in the show. It was a good call. BT and Sal here. It's 146. Got Evan and Tiki coming up next here. 888-808-1019 is the number. I want to get this in. I think you guys will enjoy this before I get back to the calls. It's about the Jackson Dart. NFL Talk on the Fan brought to you by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all year long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. So I think, let's face it, if you encompass every storyline with the Jets and the Giants both being on the table, I think it's fairly easy to recognize what the biggest question of the year going in is in New York football, and that's when do we see Jackson Dart? Like, when do we really see him? And there's going to be a lot of conversations about this. Some think he should start week one, which I think is nuts, which he's not. I looked at the schedule, and I just came up with this. And all right, so he's not going to play week one. Not going to play week two in Dallas. You're not going to throw him out there on a Sunday night against Kansas City, or at least I wouldn't. And by the way, I think Russ will do okay. So I think Russ will be fine early. I don't think he's going to be so poor where we're looking, you know, right away. We got to get Dart in there. I don't think you throw him in there against a Harbaugh defense, which is going to be very good. L.A. Chargers, that's late September. Then you're in New Orleans. All right, maybe. Like, if Russ is awful, then maybe that's the spot. But then you have Thursday night against Philly. Then you're in Denver. Then you're in Philly on a short week. Like, there's just really no soft landing spots. And even Sunday, November 2nd, which is week 9, that's against San Francisco. And that's at home. You know, they're coming across the country, whatever, but they're a pretty good team. I think when I look at this, probably, it all depends on Wilson, sure. But I think the first really, truly logical spot for Dart will be week 10, Sunday, November 9th at Chicago. I think. Like, that's the one that tends to jump out. Then after that, you're back home against the Packers. It's not a short week. There's nothing wacky there. No prime time. You know, you want to tell me. And by the way, I don't even know if it's going to be that early. I mean, he might not play until after the bye, which is week 14 in early-ish December. I don't know. I'm saying, though, the one spot that makes a little bit of sense to me now could be that Chicago week 10. You want to tell me week 13 at New England, but that's a Monday night game. Vrabel's a good defensive guy. Do you want to mess around with that? Probably not. I don't know. That's my first look at that. So there you go, a little football something with Dart. Let me get back to you guys here. Let me get Tom in Brooklyn. Tom, BT and Sal, how you doing today?
Yeah, how you doing? Listen, before I give you my Steinbrenner take, you know, you and Hoff have almost the exact same sounding voice on the radio. It's weird. I don't know if
I don't think so.
Hear that at all, dude.
I don't think so. I think maybe Sal and I sound a little bit alike, me and Hoff know.
Yeah, my voice is so much sexier.
Yeah. Well, you got to have something.
Maybe you don't hear it as we hear it on the radio. Anyway, do you think anything's going to be done with the Yankees for a change while Steinbrenner is still the owner? I don't think so, but I was wondering your take on it.
Yeah, I do. I think if the Yankees miss the playoffs this year, which I don't think they will, but I think they'll make it as a wild card. If they were to get bounced like immediately, I think there's changes. Yeah, I think Hal's got a limit. I mean, what do we, can't be stupid about this here. I mean, nobody has a job for life. So if they don't make the playoffs, then I think that there's probably wholesale changes, meaning Cashman moves on to an advisory role, whatever. you know, obviously Aaron Boone would be out at that point. If the Yankees make the wild card and lose in round one, I can see them, or him, probably keeping Cashman, which I wouldn't agree with, and then maybe doing a new manager. But listen, I think whenever the change comes, you know, we've had some conversations with people off the record, off the air. You know, like Jeter would be interested in this job. He would be interested in Cashman's job. And Posada would be interested in managing. And we know they're boys. So I don't know where that goes, when it goes, if it goes. But you'd have to acknowledge that, you know, any quick ouster, you'd have to anticipate massive change. You have to. And this is crazy how, think about, even though it's really not that different from what some of us thought going into the year, right now, the Yankees are projected to win 88.7 games. The Mets are projected to win 85.7. So I thought the Mets would be slightly higher. I thought the Yankees over-under at 90.5 was, really wasn't touching that. I went under. But I wasn't feeling great about the division. You guys know that. But we are 30-ish games to go for both of these teams. One's projected to win mid-80s. The other high 80s. One team, the Yankees, has an 8.5 percentage chance to win the division. The Mets have less than 6% chance based on everything that they calculate. This model that I use, less than 6% chance to win the division. And the Mets, by the way, now the Yankees are postseason just making it, it's well over 95%. But the Mets is in the low 70s. I got news for everybody here. The Yankees or the Mets, neither one of those teams gets an ounce of credit for merely making the playoffs. Not from this show. Not from this guy. Like, that's got to be the bare bones barometer. Like, you drop 340 like the Mets, you drop whatever it is, 290. Now the Yankees have eaten some money with DJ. They picked up some money with McMahon. So, like, where their money is now, they ate money with Stroman, where it is now versus where it was, it's gone a little bit higher. So they're even closer. They're over three now. When you have a payroll over $300 million, you think we're getting on the air in New York City and throwing a party with all these additional wild card spots for the Yanks and the Mets to merely make the playoffs? There's no way that that's going to happen. And there's no way anybody should feel that way, honestly. Now, but Rob is feeling positive in Sayreville. Rob, Speed Teen Sal, what's up, dude?
I wouldn't say fully positive, but so I'll give you a little background. But so I'm a diehard Yankee fan. I'm also a teacher and a high school baseball coach.
Nice.
And naturally, when I see a problem that's mind-boggling, like what the Yankees are right now, I think to myself and I try to rationalize it. So I'm trying to, like, I can't imagine a world where you and Yankee fans are smarter than the people that they have working in the front office.
Why not? I'm going to ask. I don't know. That. Why not?
I'm trying to think, like, this is a billion-dollar organization.
Fantastic.
How stupid could they be?
Well, I'm not saying, Rob, hold on. I'm not saying that they're stupid. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. But, like, I know that this is going to sound, I just know how it's going to sound, but I don't care. I know more baseball than some people in the Yankees front office. I can promise you that. I'm not going to run away. I'm not going to speak for anybody else. I'm speaking for me. Me? Yes, I have great confidence saying that. I do.
I want to get to my point. So nowadays, after every at bat, you see the guys go into the dugout.
Yep.
They check out their iPads. Yeah. They're working through things
playing
like pitch sequencing, hotspots,
yeah,
all this data that they're looking at.
Yep,
they're
yep.
like trying to play three. It's like 3D chess they're trying to play.
Spin rate. Yeah.
And so what I'm wondering, and this is again, it's me trying to rationalize.
I got you.
Could it be possible that the so-called genius analytics guys,
the nerds,
like
yep.
maybe even like relating it to football, mm-hmm. right? Like they're holding their cards for the postseason, where they get there and they change their approach.
Rob, you're overthinking it, Rob. No, that, I have to end because the show's basically no. Because if that was the case, well then why haven't the Yankees had more success? And I appreciate the out of box thinking. I really mean that. Sincerely, you're an educator. You've got a fertile mind. I appreciate a different way to approach a problem. I do. That's admirable. But, and I know you're not saying that they're doing that. You're just throwing it out there as a possibility. But if that were true, then why wouldn't that apply to previous seasons? Like, we've been having this conversation about the New York Yankees over and over and over and over and over.